Okay, so let's see. To start the interview, what's up with the name? How do you feel about being lumped in with the rest of the New York rock scene? And what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you guys on tour? We're done.
I'm Nick, singer of the French Kicks.
I'm Josh. I play guitar in the French Kicks.
So part of this band started in high school, and many of you, I think, went to the same college. So what did everybody study to prepare you for being in a rock and roll band?
I went to a music college, Oberlin, and there's a lot going on. I learned a lot, played in a lot of bands, studied some music, so took some piano lessons and stuff.
You also took history?
Yeah, I majored in history.
And what historical fact can you tell me, it's on my list here, but what historical fact can you tell me that is going to make the audience just absolutely buy millions of copies of 2000?
There's no such thing as a grassroots revolution.
So then the Rolling Stones didn't gather any moss. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah.
Come on, Josh. You've got to do a can you top this on this, because this is just all too exciting so far.
Just fisticuffs from here on out.
Yes.
So you want to know what I studied in college?
That prepared you for your imminent career in rock and roll. Imminent being the operative word.
I took like half a semester of economics, and that set it up pretty perfectly.
There was a lot of buzz about recording the new record minus a founding band member. So it's an obvious question, but it did affect the sound, and you know, the reviewers have worked too hard at it. But I want to hear what you think about all of it.
To be honest, we've been writing a certain way and recording a certain way for a while, I don't know how much Matt's departure affected that part of the process.
Would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that anytime you have like a change like that, there's on a day-to-day level, there are things to change, and they're, you know, it's like someone who's a friend, and there's like emotional things you feel, but like, yeah, I don't think it really, like the nuts and bolts of the way we recorded this record versus the last record were actually quite similar, so I wouldn't attribute that change necessarily to the way the record was made.
It says in your bio, we all, Doug included, fell quickly into a resigned, fatalistic doggedness. Did you have any fun at all recording this record? Or was it just purely resigned doggedness? Which, by the way, if French Kicks doesn't work, is your next band name.
That's pretty accurate. I mean, I wouldn't describe it as fun.
So how do you record, this is not even on my, it just hit me. How do you record a pop record while going through a lot of pain?
Hopefully some of it that can help on some level or other. I mean, how fraught the whole thing was actually found its way onto the record in a way that I think you can hear it a little bit, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's not something we're planning on repeating, you know. No, I think it's made us sort of make a whole new manifesto about how we're going to do it going forward, so we don't get into that. Because we've done this sort of final exams style recording for the last couple, and there's always a relatively limited budget, and that means you're watching the clock all the time, and it just puts pressure on it that we're hoping to avoid in the future. I mean, I think good stuff can happen, but you'd like to be able to relax at some point. We're trying to rein it in a little bit, and we've bought a little bit of gear, and we're sort of trying to learn how to do some stuff on our own so that we can, you know, add some hours and take some of the horrible pressure off, at least that element of it. Because, yeah, some records that you hear that are great just took forever. I mean, Rumors or one of those Fleetwood Mac records that took a year and a half, and they were in the studio the whole time, or like OK Computer or something, and those are records that I think wouldn't have been possible if they'd had to cram the whole thing into a couple weeks. You need to be able to leave and come back, and you need to be able to, you know, work a couple hours and take a walk, and, you know, that sort of stuff is important to be able to do.
So even though you've had EPs, you know, before Trial was the breakthrough. Do you think that, you know, were you ready for reviewers to hit you with that whole sophomore album slump thing when 2000 came out, even though there was stuff before it, but they perceived it as, you know, kind of the second album that was the big one to the one that, you know, kind of really kicked it for you, pun intended or not intended?
Well, I want you, Josh, I want you to weigh in on this too, but I think it is important to point out we did have a full-length record before Trial of the Century.
Oh, no, I know, but the reviewers don't treat it that way.
No. I think Trial of the Century was seen as people to be surprising that we were, you know, that was the sort of language that was used. It was like, I didn't know they could, you know, they were capable of this sort of thing, so.
When you have your break, I guess what it comes down to is when you have your breakout record, whatever that definition means, and by the way, that might not be you might not think that was your breakout record. You might not like that record at all, but you don't get to make that choice these days, and probably no rock band ever has. It's in the hands of the people who inform the public, like me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we did feel like touring after that record and you know, sort of gathering momentum after that record, it did feel like the, you know, people, I think, understood it as being sophisticated in a way, as being, you know, having elements that we hadn't been able to necessarily pull off in previous recordings. And, you know, I imagine they took those expectations into the next record.
And
the record.
Perception reality, but it doesn't matter.
I think one of those, too, was, you know, I remember feeling like we had sort of come a lot closer to having a sound than we had before. Because we do a lot of experimenting. It's a lot of, all over, even on that record, on every record, it's very, we try a lot of different stuff, and each song sounds different from the other ones, you know, to some people, I think that's like, well, these guys don't know what they're doing, and that may be true to an extent, but on that record, I felt like there was a vibe, there was an overarching, you know, there was a thread that went through the whole thing, there was a vibe, the whole record had a vibe, and had an emotional vibe, it had a sound, like, palette for, you know, if you're allowed that very pretentious word, but I remember thinking like, okay, yeah, this is this band. This is what we sound like. This is what we're doing. And, you know, that was a nice, it takes a while sometimes to arrive at that feeling, but it was a nice feeling.
The album's out since July. You're now doing Noise Pop and a couple of select gigs, right? So what's the plan from there? Being that the record is still new, but I'm sure you still are feeling the need to give it a push.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for us, as you say, you don't have control over any of this stuff. So all we can really do is just keep doing what we do, which is, at this point, we've toured pretty extensively around the record, at least for the first, you know, pass. And now we're actually in the happy place of being able to just be home and writing songs and you know, thinking about the next thing. And obviously the record, you know, if it gathers momentum or does something, then that's great. And we can always go and play shows, and we always have the songs. We can always play the songs, you know. And at the same time, we're allowed to now just do whatever we want, which is great.
And also, like, you know, you're talking about a DJ catching on to a single or whatever. And I think, like, at this point for a band of our sort, like, a push comes usually from something like a television commercial or a song in a movie or, you know, some sort of level of buzz or intrigue that doesn't usually even have to do with the radio.
Get it on the OC soundtrack, you're there, baby.
Yeah, you know, I mean, no matter what, I think people were less suspicious of certain things than they were, you know, when we were kids. And, you know, you would hear, if you heard music in a TV commercial, it was usually like, that's it, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And now I think people are a little more aware of how working musicians actually make money, and that they're not, there's not quite as much of a stigma attached to that stuff.
What country or city do you want to become huge in and get to play?
I mean, I've always wanted to go, and we've always, I think all of us have wanted to go to continental Europe. We've never been there for some reason.
And why isn't that? I mean, given what you play and why do you think that doesn't happen?
I don't, you know, I think what we've been told is that the way it works is, and we're skeptical of this, but maybe it's true, that you have to break in England first, and everybody gets all their information from England. And breaking in England is just not something that's been, you know.
It worked for the Killers.
I think it's worked for a lot of people, and I mean, for the most part, it must be true.
Perception reality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's how it goes generally. I think we might be one of these bands. There's this band, The National, I know, who just made a point of not doing it that way. They went to France and just made it happen, paid for themselves to go a couple times, and then it worked. And we've been talking about trying to do that because I think it would, you know, I think I'm confident that we can, you know, once we get in front of people, they, you know, they can get turned on to the thing. So.
Poland. Just Poland.
Łódź.
part of the like New York sound thing too, is people like staking claim to territory and using it as sort of like a critical shorthand to talk about something. And I feel like a lot of music reviewing in general gets into that sort of like, you know, gamesmanship over here's what I know, here's where I'm coming from, these are my reference points, this is how this fits into like, you know, what I'm thinking about or what I'm talking about. And sometimes, you know, that will make sense for an instant, but you know, if you're looking at something over like a longer term, or you know, over, you know, something that's like a living, breathing thing, like, you know, bands don't do the same thing, you know, like over and over again based on what their friends are listening to in the East Village or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, everything you come into contact with is shaping what's going on. And you know, most people that are good are trying to like bust through whatever they've just done, you know.
So do you think that this internet thing really has helped? I mean, I think it's helped in terms of having a MySpace site and getting the music out there, but has it also hindered because now anybody can post a review, post a blog, and have millions of people see it at the same time that you're getting your music out there?
I mean, yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, but I think as with like the actual like news media as well, I think there's a certain amount of blogs sort of like real and on their toes about things. I think there's an actual corrective aspect to the blogs. Oftentimes it is frustrating when someone gets a hold of music and gives it away. That sometimes can work to your favor as well, but I like the general leveling of the, you know, the field as far as where people are going to get their ideas about what is good and what, and you know, what kind of reviews they want to read and hear about. Because you know, I think there have in the past been certain sites that dominate the vibe and you know, yeah, I mean, for better or worse, but I think you know, once you dilute that, it's much more interesting, and you can also find people who are more, you know, specifically attuned to whatever it is you're interested in about music, and that's, you know, that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's sort of heading towards purely organic dissemination of information. Like if you started with, you know, 15 years ago, you got it from three sources, and now there's, you know, thousands.
That deal with anything are generally good curators of information, whether it's music or artwork or whatever. You know, they've narrowed the field down to something that makes sense from a certain point of view, and that gives you something to respond to. I mean, those are generally the interesting people that you meet in the world too. They've got like strong opinions about like this is like a body of stuff that I'm interested in, and here, deal with my opinion and respond to it, you know, because you can't just be like, yeah, I kind of like everything, you know, and oh, yeah. Like, and that's boring.
The last thing we do, we call it a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread. And then you're each going to pick three or four tunes in between by anybody you want to play.
What is that Paul Simon song? I think it might be Still Crazy After All These Years, actually. Yeah. I think it is, right?
Yeah. I think
it,
yeah.
Yeah, that might be a good setup. You know that band, M2Me?
Yeah.
The late 70s, early 80s band?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. I found out the 12-inch.
They did the Juicy Fruit?
Yeah, Juicy Fruit, yeah, okay.
So one,
Juicy Fruit by M2Me, yeah.
I'm tempted to say Dancing in Guyana, just because I like that song so much.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Eddie Grant, Dancing in Guyana.
Okay, we got a dance thing going now. We got the 12-inch disco singles going, right?
Should we put that Earth, Wind, and Fire song in there? That's really good.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know what else we could do is that Neil Young song where I was playing in Soundcheck. Yeah.
Walk on
by Neil Young. And what's the Earth, Wind, and Fire song?
The way you feel, so on your face.
Spirit. I think it's something like on your face.